This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Nathan, what are other trends you're seeing in PropTech overall outside of the cleaning industry? Are there things that you predict are going to be big in the future?
Yeah, I think the suite of products that we really see moving forward, one of them is air quality monitoring. That seems like an obvious one these days. Understanding what's in the air that we breathe and having that available as data for that tenant experience. I think that's a very, very strong, there's a strong case to be made for that. Obviously, I mentioned HVAC being the biggest spend in any OPEX. I think there's really great innovation happening to make the building a little bit more effective and efficient on heating spend. And of course, I think the last one, of course, is just moving some of the energy off the grid and using things like solar or more effective uses of power in buildings. I think those are ways that, those are going to be, like we talked about, the 20x, 30x, even 100x ROIs over time. And buildings are starting to make those decisions, right now, and the future's here now.
How do you tie ROI to things like air quality monitoring? I mean, there isn't, we can't quantify cost to health, but are you assuming that the ROI comes from government incentives? Or that, better marketability of a building because tenants expect this, and so it's a must-have. Where is the ROI in this?
Yeah, no, it's really that quality of tenant experience. I think at the end of the day, is the marketability and just attracting the best tenants in the world to these spaces. I think that's really ultimately going to be, and that always has been, the business of property management. Nowadays, technology is that sort of wedge for these buildings to get that level of pizzazz or marketability above others. Obviously, not a hard benefit like we've been talking about on this podcast, but impactful nonetheless.
Yeah, fascinating. So what questions do you have for me? Is there anything you think might benefit viewers, either asking me as a real estate investor or an angel / venture capitalist or a former entrepreneur? Anything you think would be of interest?
Yeah, no, I think your insights towards shedding light on some of these areas of the world, property management, real estate that are overlooked, such as our vertical and others, I think is incredibly important. Obviously, the average consumer doesn't know, half as much of about how a building operates than maybe you do, and maybe about the vertical that I do. But I think it's incredibly important that we, we shed light on these types of things so people understand what's happening behind the scenes to make, things like their experience in a building so great, or their experience when they step foot into, that new office building. How much work is really going on behind to make that amazing?
Yeah, got it. Understood. So, I mean, you didn't ask a question there, but I'm gonna run with that and say that this is the thing with real estate. There's just so many opportunities. This is why I personally decided to invest in prop tech companies. I could have started a prop tech company myself, but realized there's like 20, 30 different areas that are going to be very big. And there's more than 20, 30 areas, by the way. And so you just have to look and you'll suddenly realize, I'll give you a funny analogy, right? I had a friend come over to my dorm room when I was in college. And a friend said to me, this place is so dirty. And I didn't understand. I said, no, it's not. He said, look around you. I did look around. I was like, yeah, so. He said, no, look in the air. Do you see dust? I was like, wow, suddenly the dust appeared. It was like someone had just done something like, clapped their hands, and I could see particles of dust everywhere, and I realized I got to clean this place. I'm using this analogy because it's metaphorically relevant, and ever since then, I walk into a building and I since that moment, I sometimes look around and sometimes you'll see buildings where there's a lot of dust, I've gone to a tall property, and I've seen it. Like you walk on the carpet and dust particles fly up, right?
Yep.
That metaphor is interesting because some of the opportunities in real estate don't seem obvious to you. until you frame them. Like the example I gave of going to the restaurant and seeing a paper on the door in the toilet, right? Suddenly it hits you and you realize this is a big problem, but it wasn't evident. So entrepreneurs who are thinking of starting a company in prop tech, some of the problems are so obvious. It's that you are so blind to them because you are just, you've taken it for granted. Some of the most basic problems are obvious. The need for Uber, the need for Airbnb, the need for some of the greatest companies like Amazon that have changed everything. The needs now are obvious. Like how could a future have existed without these companies? How did we live prior to these companies? But prop tech, some of the best solutions are the most obvious and they get to the heart of the matter, right? And ultimately that is better delivering a better experience for the end consumer, you know.
What do you see as being, you know, that biggest area of growth within a commercial property or within prop tech in general? Do you see it being, you know, like the services like we're providing, or is it sort of that tenant facing engagement? Is it the platforms? Those are kind of the conversations we're having now.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I could talk about both of those aspects, both the tenant experience and the services. I think when you look through the line item of expenses, when you're buying a property, an investment property, you're buying it because you think you can add value. And you can add value by improving it and increasing rents or cutting costs in some way. Maybe you've got scale. Maybe you have, you know, a better property manager. You've got your in-house team. You've got something where you can cut costs. Go through the line item in real estate and analyze every line item and you'll find areas you can cut costs. You know, you gave an example where Mero focuses on the commercial cleaning aspect, and it's the second largest item of cost you can cut. So I think there's plenty of services and vendors. And here is the dirty secret about real estate, okay? There are such things known as preferred vendors. And once they're preferred vendors, they're in and they can charge you a fortune. And if you don't monitor your expenses and you don't have someone monitoring them, and you have a management company, they might bring in their preferred vendor. They might bring in their preferred construction company. And there might be kickbacks in the background, but you know, the best companies, we work with great management companies, and obviously they don't do these kickback things. They just charge a percentage of cost. But often you'll have unscrupulous managers who will be, you know, inflating the cost of a product or service, right? It could be cleaning, it could be construction services, it could be whatever you want to name it. It could be the HVAC replacements. And they're buying it at cost and charging you retail. It's like mechanics do this all the time, you know? Yeah. So they're buying it at cost, they're charging you retail prices. And if you're not savvy and you don't realize, you look through the line item and you realize, wow, I'm getting ripped off here. And I'm you know, my margins are getting crushed. So you know, there's so many services and vendors. One is in more transparency around cost. So I think that's one opportunity in prop tech to help here. I think another opportunity in prop tech is just more efficient running of operations. Mm-hmm. So bring in more prop tech, bring in more data and cut your costs down. Don't send your staff scrambling around. Give you an example, something viewers who live in apartment buildings can relate to. Apartment buildings were getting flooded with parcels and boxes. And so companies like Luxor One have started to grow, and they are now a storage facility in your building, you know, where you can go in and, you know, now that cuts cost. You know, you might have a one-off cost in buying the hardware, but tenants themselves can go and they can have secure pickup of their delivery. You know, if you're in a building where they deliver it to your door, then, you know, that's a shame because now you have to go down to Luxor One and pick up the parcel, right? But this improves your cost. You have less labor cost, you have less wastage, you have less claims. So there we go. I think services is one area. And then I think the other one is tenant engagement.
Yeah.
And tenant experience and engagement isn't necessarily build a beautiful app, you know, and annoy the resident, right? It could be a better experience inside the building. I'll give you another story, right? San Francisco is renowned for this. We have a lot of old buildings, a lot of old Victorian buildings. And you walk into these old Victorian buildings and they have a smell, the smell of paint, right? There's a certain smell that puts you off and you know, it's going to always deter a certain type of resident. Now you walk into a Class A building, brand spanking new, and they've really made it look great, you know? That's because you understand the market, you understand the consumer. You gave an example of air purification and cleaning, right? That's very important because you want to attract a certain type of tenant. You can't put an ROI around that, in my view. I mean, you can because you're in the industry, but my view is, you know, if you're a building operator and you're going to invest in state-of-the-art amenities, the ROI isn't as clear, but you just know this is a must-have for tenants, right? Okay. A lot of our viewers, and I come from this world too. I'm an investor in a lot of workforce housing projects. We're ruthless with cost, right? We want to turn over units at a low cost. We don't want to put expensive granite marble countertops because there's no ROI there, right? Okay. And so you don't do that. But hold on, if you're targeting a Class A consumer, you've got to do that. You've got to bring in all the bells and whistles, and the ROI is just different, you know? So I think experience is important for your most important tenant base, Class A. I don't think experience is as important for your lower class of tenant bases, like what we call Class C workforce housing. That audience is very much focused on cost optimization. They're happy to get rid of the bells and whistles, and so we market properties like that, you know? They call it no frills. I mean, entire airline companies have built their brand around no frills. You know,
that's right.
Southwest, for example, or in the Europe, you know, EasyJet or Ryanair. But if you want to be Class A, you've got to focus on experience, and that's harder to quantify, but you just know it's there.
Yeah. And those, you know, the Class Bs and the Class Cs, like the theme of this podcast, you know, they're not the sexiest, but they're hella profitable. They can be hella profitable if you know exactly where to look for the things. So, I think that's the theme of this is just like you said, is uncovering hidden expenses. And having the, you know, wherewithal to actually search for those you know, deep hitting costs, because in the bull run of real estate that we've had in all of our major urban centers, it's easy to overlook those things. But you know, coming out of this, you know, it's not going to be the case anymore. And I think that you know, we're ready for a new era of more efficient, more effective, just better run workspaces and buildings.
Yeah, and to conclude on that note, Nathan. Too many entrepreneurs live in luxury class, say high-rise buildings, and are building technology solutions targeted on their own needs. Of course, you build something because you understand the need, but most of the world isn't Class A, luxury, high-rise, expensive, extravagant. Add every adjective you want that you'd read in a damn sales prospectus, you know, or you know, the rental listing, right? That's not the most of the world. The biggest opportunities in PropTech are going to come from the mass market, making things more affordable, improving the experiences for your average everyday consumer. And we're talking about PropTech. Here's something to bear in mind for PropTech. A lot of PropTech companies are US focused. Mm-hmm. And what they might consider workforce housing pricing, that pricing doesn't translate globally. The dollar's very strong. If you're charging a certain pricing tier for your product or service to your workforce housing consumer or your Class C, Class B tenant in America, that's Class A pricing globally. So there's an initial opportunity for companies globally to do the opposite, okay? And that is to deliver a service, prove you can scale that profitably in your local market, then bring it to America and disrupt the pricing. I've seen countless European startups do a really good job with this. They charge a certain amount that is just disruptive. It's a great amount for these companies, you know. And look, honestly, when you're investing abroad, as I am as a VC, the valuations are very different. They're you know, a fraction of the price of a US company. Here you say, I'm raising on a YC safe note, and bingo, you know, $10 million pre-money valuation for a company that's just a slide deck. In Europe, it's different. In other countries, it's different. You know, you have to make revenue. And even when you have revenue, it's like a $5 million, $8 million valuation. Those companies have to hustle hard to get funding. Those companies are building products and are marketing it to the masses. And when they bring it to America, they can just take over by storm because their pricing is disruptive. You know?
Exactly.
So I think that's an opportunity that the world needs to wake up to.
Yeah, that's how you build it the right way.
Great. Nathan, this was a wonderful discussion. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Zane. Appreciate it.